America Meditating Radio Show. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. Hi everyone, I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. We bridge divides, we seek deeper meaning, and we answer life's most compelling questions from experts around the world. Because in a world of uncertainty and division within and out, we will need answers right here, right now. Join me and guests on America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Welcome, everyone, to America Meditating Radio. That was Love and Gratitude from Kristen Hoffman. Beautiful, beautiful songstress from upstate New York. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. It always pleases me when you take your 30 minutes out of the day to join us on air to learn more about our lives and our journey, to understand what's at the heart of our existence on the planet, and to find strength and courage to keep persevering. I was having a conversation with Bob Thurman the other day, and I was telling him how it's so interesting that you could bring the best of your life forward and situations will constantly arise in front of you to help you to see to what level your principles and values are truly balanced and are truly aligned. Because there's sometimes we stand up for something that we believe is not right, or it could be even an injustice. And while standing up, we find that we're becoming peaceless. Have you ever been there before, where you actually find yourself becoming peaceless as you're standing up against something that is creating peacelessness too? So we don't help the situation. So we do need wisdom. And we do need a consistent interior courage to keep us moving forward and to keep amplifying our purpose to make it balanced and clear. We're on a journey, there's no doubt. We're going through our ups and downs. 24/7, we're not always going to be perfect. But I do believe in those moments, those seconds, those minutes when we actually do advocate this divine grace of perfection, when virtues and values do come to the forefront of our expressions, and we really, really soar and really feel that we're coming from the zone, that real pure spot that we feel right. Your heart will signal to you if your mind cannot tell you what's going on. It'll get restricted, it'll get tight, or it'll pump really fast. That's a sign that something emotionally or something that you've seen physically or heard is not being received internally from the basis of peace or compassion or love. And so if sometimes we just can't catch it at a thought level, check your body out. Check how that's feeling. If you listen to your body, you can sense if what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're about to say, what you're about to do, if it's going to help to restore your body into balance and grace, or if it's going to continue to throw it off. I hope this was helpful for you. Please stay tuned. I'm going to be having a chit-chat with Spring Washam, and Spring's going to be talking to me about more meditation and her new book, A Fierce Heart, that's coming up, Finding Strength, Courage, and Wisdom in Any Moment. Before I get Spring on the air, why don't we do what we do best here, which is to meditate, to really get into a deep zone of our own selves and to find truth and wisdom and purity in our own lives. Take a deep breath. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you, and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. This time, Welcome back, everyone. That was Letting Go from Inclusion Revolution Together with Love album by yours truly, Sister Jenna. Today, we're proud to welcome our guest. Spring Washam is a well-known meditation and Dharma teacher and a founding member and core teacher at the East Bay Meditation Center, located in Oakland, California. Spring's teachings focus on social action and multiculturalism. She's considered a pioneer in bringing mindfulness-based healing practices into diverse communities and is committed to enriching the lives of disenfranchised people everywhere. She currently travels and teaches workshops, classes, and retreats worldwide. Her new book is entitled A Fierce Heart, Finding Strength, Courage, and Wisdom in Any Moment. Today we welcome Spring Washam to the air. Hi, Spring. Welcome.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great, Sister Jenna. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. So I know that you grew up in a biracial home, and your mom being Caucasian and your dad being African American. Your family was always fighting, perhaps, about race, culture, and identity. How did this atmosphere basically help you more to cultivate your fierce heart?
Well, I always feel like I'm a bit of a chameleon, and I walk in very different worlds. You know, I can teach at a center that maybe is in, you know, an affluent neighborhood, and then come to our other center in downtown Oakland and talk to the communities there. So I don't know. I think it's just expanded my heart, my capacity to understand different culture and people and perspectives. Just kind of a wider world.
Mm-hmm. I get that, because I'm half African and half Indian. And I just always live my life just on the rope, just in the middle. I don't think this is more, this is less. I just try to pick up the values that come with both cultures and bring that in my relationships. Now, you've had a very interesting story in your journey. We all, maybe some of us more than others, but you left home when you were 15 to sort of move away from your mother's, you know, unfortunate karmic energy with a boyfriend that was very abusive to her. What gave you that courage to take that move, and how did that actually change your life?
Well, you know, as many, you know, young people do, they run away from situations and explore life. And it was a hard thing to do, but it was the right thing to do. When I left my mother's house and, you know, moved back to Southern California where I was born and spent the first few years of my life. I don't know. I think it was really important for me to explore myself. I was sort of very determined to understand myself and my purpose in the world, and I was already reading books on psychology, and I think I just had a very independent streak, a very independent person, and so that just allowed me, and you know, there's a good thing and a bad thing to that. Well, I guess in some way there is no bad, but you know, you don't know a lot at this, so you kind of traumatize yourself in your pursuit of self-discovery. So I definitely did that for a couple of years. But it allowed me to find my own voice. And I've come to appreciate that. I found my own strength. I found my own courage. And I was able to kind of stand on my own two feet in a way. That was right for me. It's definitely not right for everybody. But sure. I think for my personality, it really worked.
Yeah, I can get that. And it's kind of scary, you know, because you go through a lot of ups and downs, ins and outs, and you have to grow differently, and you really do have to stand on your own two feet. Buddhism, how did you come across it? Why did you decide that Buddhism really worked for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, when I was in my very early 20s, I started studying meditation. A friend left a Hindu book on my table. I'd moved into a new apartment and a friend left their book by accident. And it was all about meditation. So initially I started doing it on my own. And I was with a Hindu group, Self-Realization Fellowship, actually, Paramahansa Yogananda, for those who might be a part of that community. However, I discovered after a year, we would go to these three-hour meditations and nobody told you anything. You know, they would just say, focus on God. And I would sit there for 3 hours with my mind insane, you know. And I would think, well, I don't know if I'm doing it right. And so luckily I heard another friend told me, they said, why don't you go to this meditation retreat? They give you instruction every day. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. I didn't know it was Buddhist, actually. It was before Spirit Rock, where I am the big part of their community now and a teacher there. It was before they had their halls built. It was in the early days. So I just happened upon this retreat, and then I was kind of introduced to the teachings of the Buddha on this one retreat, and I really fell in love with the Dharma then. I felt like this is the path, meditation, insight. It just really deeply resonated. And so I decided that was it for me.
Good for you.
I want to follow this. Yeah.
Good for you. Now tell me about this. Is the book released yet, A Fierce Heart, Finding Strength, Courage, and Wisdom?
Yeah, it was released a few days ago. So it's everywhere.
Congratulations.
Now online. And yes, thank you. Yeah, it was a labor of love for sure.
What can our listeners find in the book that would get them a little bit more fired up with a fierce heart?
Well, in some way, what I wanted to do with this book was to kind of make the Buddhist teachings a little bit more contemporary and also to reach a more diverse demographic with language. I have a lot of art in the book. The cover is designed by a beautiful artist in Oakland. And it was a way to kind of take some of the core teachings and make it really relevant to right now, where we are, the political landscape, the culture that we're in. So I wove in my own stories, but also tried to make the Dharma, you know, and that's what we're always doing is taking these teachings and kind of filtering them through different lenses. And then we hear them in different ways. So the book is a lot about my own journey and also some of the beautiful stories of all the people that I have met in over the last 10 years. So weaving some of those stories and also some stories from all over the world. So kind of infusion of global wisdom too. But the idea was to kind of put a contemporary new feel on the book. I don't think there's been a Dharma book quite like this out. I've definitely never seen a book like this. So I think its time has come.
Well, congratulations for that. Each and every one of us at some point have to forgive someone for something. And as I investigate the power in forgiveness more and more, I can't help but redirect my finger pointing externally towards myself, that I made the choice, I made the decision, maybe my motives were mixed, my intentions were mixed. And, you know, sometimes we do a good deed externally, it looks good, but the motive within the soul, which is a private affair, had an agenda. And I think that's why we're getting very convoluted in terms of blaming people and never turning the attention towards the self fulfillment, the self-amplification of goodness and divinity. So when we look at forgiveness, and you talk about forgiveness as well, I believe, in the book.
So
why is forgiveness, in terms of your world, such an important aspect of in cultivating a fierce heart?
Well, I think the topic itself is so... it's so mixed, right? Even the word for some people is really triggering. But when I talk about forgiveness, and I definitely have a chapter in the book and about the people that I forgive that is really, really painful and challenging. When I talk about forgiveness, I really talk about greed, hatred, and delusion. I talk about that's what we're forgiving. We're forgiving the confused mind. So in some way, I can talk about that in a way that makes sense to me and that people understand. So it's not so much about hating people or, you know, it's like, oh, right, there was causes and conditions. And I think from my own perspective, I really agree with you. A lot of the message in the book and what I teach in general is about how to use these experiences. Maybe they're traumas, maybe they're painful, but how we can use them to grow. Because in some way, that's the best use of all of the suffering. It's like, well, what is this showing me? What opportunity is this giving me? So I talk to our community a lot in Oakland. Oakland is a place full of activism. It's kind of a hotbed of, they feel like they have their finger on the pulse of a lot of things, you know, gender and human rights. And so I work with a lot of activists. So forgiveness is a really, really important piece, you know, as we're forgiving people, organizations. And I really focus on ourselves, the role that we play, you know, where's my own greed, hatred, and delusion, exactly what you're pointing to. But that's what we're forgiving. We're forgiving the confused mind. And for me, that approach has been really helpful. And, you know, it's also my work, you know, how do I learn compassion? Usually it's through suffering. And so that's it. So I teach a lot about the value, not that we want to attach to our pain, but the value that when we inquire, when we explore, when we look through at ourselves, that's fertile ground. It's like the grist for the mill. You know, our worst moments can be our jewel. So that also leads to that fierceness, right? It's like, how can I flip this around and say, yeah, this can awaken me if I'm willing to open to it.
Mm-hmm. Nowadays, there's a lot of mental health issues going on. It's been around for a long time, but perhaps because population has increased and social media, we are getting more of an amplification that there is something wrong very deeply. And I don't think you take a gun to Las Vegas and kill almost 600 people. You have a mental issue. I think if you walk around with a jealous heart, an angry heart, a competitive nature in which you don't think about the other person's well-being when you decide to slide them out of an equation or a business deal, to me, that's all a part of mental illness. I really deeply believe that, which is why it's so important for me to self-check myself and to also invite my friends to do the same so we can have a deeper bond and a deeper relationship of trust and authenticity as we work together in harmony. So my question to you would be, is there more that we can offer the cure towards mental illness? And again, I emphasize, don't wait until someone picks up a gun and kills 600 people. It should begin at the point of your jealousy and your insecurities and your fears. So any advice that you have for anyone listening today about how can we cure our own, you know, mental illnesses that we become too normalized with?
Yeah, that's a great question as we're all contemplating these incidences that have been happening, also Texas and the church, and just, you know, I really do believe that teaching more about compassion is a really important place to start. And not about compassion necessarily directed outward, although that's a really important piece. For me, it was really important to learn about self-love and self-compassion, how to do that, how to practice that, how to be with my own feelings of rage or jealousy or anger. I think one of the things that is happening, but it's happening a little bit slowly, is sort of this whole, you know, aspect of emotional intelligence. Like, how do we start teaching children about their emotions, about kindness? So there's a whole, I feel like, emotional landscape we don't teach about. It's not a fundamental part of our, you know, we don't learn that in college necessarily, or even in high school. So I think that's a really important place. I remember watching an interview a year or two ago where they interviewed the Dalai Lama, and they asked him this really great question. They asked him, if there was one thing that you would do to change the United States, one thing that would change everything, what would it be? And he said, the education system. Without even hesitating, he said, I would teach compassion and meditation and mindfulness. And I had to, you know, that really struck me. And it's happening in very small places, you know, programs. But I think, you know, teaching people how to work with their mind, it's so painful. It's so hard. And I think now we're just medicating people versus teaching them how to be with what is hard and how to open to that.
It's difficult because I think we've never been a very introverted culture here in the U.S. When you go to Japan or you go to India, you find it's a very, I don't know, I shouldn't say it because it's such a huge contradiction. But, you know, they tend to be a very introverted culture and yet very expressive as well. And I think that if we were able to, since everything is marketing here and commercialization and public relations, if we were able to really convey stories of the importance of self-reflection, of the importance of being introverted before you speak, to think before you even have the thought, you know, to check the intention behind the intention and then come forth, I think would create a very interesting culture of lovers and fierce-heartedness people who could just, you know, really be contributors to a more healthy society. So I deeply believe that. What is that one lesson or technique that you hope for your readers to take away from your new book?
I think what my ultimate hope for people is that they listen to the call within themselves. Like, you know, I always say to people, don't shut down the breakdown. Something is trying to get your attention. And sometimes getting our attention is through dissatisfaction, unhappiness. And we can use that as a tool to begin to explore stillness, silence. So, you know, I weave in a lot of things around the book about being, yes, very active, but also very long retreats, exactly what you're talking about. So with the readers, my hope is that they'll have the courage to go within, to find that stillness, to start developing an awareness practice, right? Just like what you were saying, before we're speaking, before we're moving out into the world, that we understand our motivation and intention. But it's my belief that it all starts with becoming still and listening. Something is trying to get our attention. And if we allow ourselves to listen, for me, that was a huge doorway. So I just want people to think about starting there. Just one moment of stillness, two moments of just stilling the mind.
And also the listening skills, because I have a cute story to tell, and we have to end the show shortly, but there's a woman that I know, and she'll always tell me, no one listens to me, no one listens to me. And when I observe her life and her pattern, it's so clear she doesn't listen to her own self. And I think that this ability to really value what another shares is a signal that I value what thoughts that emerge within myself on its own, or the thoughts that I wish to cultivate. So I do believe that listening was a very big component. Spring, thank you so much for joining us on the AM radio. And I can't end the conversation without you leaving us with information on where we can find out more about you, the book, and East Bay Meditation Center.
It's been a joy. Thank you. Yes, people can just go to my website, www.springwashem.com. Then the book is on Amazon, everywhere, bookstores. And for anybody who's in Minneapolis, I'm coming into Minneapolis today to do 4 days of teaching and sharing in the community here. So, yes, and they can find me at Spirit Rock or in downtown Oakland. And, yeah, and thank you for all that you do. It's a beautiful program.
Thank you, Spring. Many good wishes and hope to see you soon.
Yes, all thank right. you. Bye-bye.
Take good care. Bye-bye. So everyone, life can give us our little own, you know, curveballs and situations and circumstances in which we have to be the individuals that step forth and step up. Despite how it's turning out, be a little bit more reflective. Pause a little. Breathe a little. Decide for yourself what's the best way to come forward in this situation where you don't hurt yourself and you certainly won't hurt the feelings of another. I know that's not always easy, but please don't disregard those small moments in your life when it really matters, when you really came out of your skin in grace, in divinity, in beauty. You've been listening to America Meditating Radio. We just had a wonderful chit-chat with Spring Washem. And if you'd like some more information on Spring, you could look for her new book that's out, A Fierce Heart, Finding Strength, Courage, and Wisdom in Any Moment, as well as visit her on her website, Spring Washem, WASHAM.com. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. Don't forget to download my new album, Inclusion Revolution, Together with Love, so we can create more diversity, inclusivity, and peace and harmony in our lives and in our country. Here's Sarah McLaughlin, Instruments of Peace. Take care, everybody.
you.